This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
TikTok plans to withdraw from Hong Kong after a controversial new security law was imposed on the city. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. The social media app TikTok is hugely popular, especially among young people, for its fun, viral videos. But the Chinese-owned company plans to exit from Hong Kong within days as political tensions spill over into the business sphere. Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, says her administration will vigorously implement the new national security law and called it a red line that could not be crossed. The BBC's China correspondent, Stephen McDonald, explains some of the controversy.
Carrie Lam said today that her city's new state security law will only affect a handful of radicals. However, critics say Hong Kong's leader is airbrushing what's become the criminalisation of certain dissenting views. Libraries and bookshops have started removing titles advocating independence or even a high degree of autonomy for Hong Kong. Social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook and WhatsApp have announced that they've stopped supplying Hong Kong police and state security with user data.
And it's against this backdrop that TikTok made its decision today. The BBC's Asia business correspondent Karishma Vaswani reports.
TikTok's decision to stop operations in Hong Kong of its popular video app is strategic. This is ultimately a Chinese-owned company. ByteDance, its parent firm, is the world's most valuable startup. But TikTok doesn't operate in China. Its sister app, Douyin, does that. Still, it struggled to fight off suspicions that it operates under Chinese law or under the control of Beijing, which is why TikTok has been under pains to try and change its global image. And this move could be one more step towards doing that. It's already hired an American CEO, Kevin Mayer, a former Walt Disney executive. TikTok has also consistently said in interviews and statements that if asked, it would never hand over data to Beijing and that it's never been asked for any user data either. Staying in Hong Kong under the new law may make it difficult for TikTok to keep to that commitment. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. After a strong start to the week, mainland Chinese stocks have continued their rally. This is off the back of a strengthening renminbi, that's the Chinese currency. Over in Hong Kong, the benchmark Hang Seng closed 1.4% lower on Tuesday, while in Australia, the ASX 200 closed flat after the country's central bank kept borrowing costs on hold. Concerns are mounting in Australia about a resurgence in coronavirus cases. Its second most populous city, Melbourne, has become the first to return to lockdown. And over in South Korea, the KOSPI has followed the broader market lower. Its index heavyweight Samsung Electronics has forecast better than expected profits. The technology giant said the global move to work from home has boosted sales of its memory chips. The United Kingdom has been able to keep its unemployment rate from skyrocketing during the coronavirus crisis. And that's because a government support package encompassing furlough programs, business loans and grant schemes have allowed companies to keep their staff on their payrolls even if their doors were shut. Tomorrow, the UK Finance Minister Rishi Sunak is set to unveil a new series of support measures in a so-called mini-budget. But millions of jobs could still be lost in the coming months, as the BBC's Victoria Craig reports.
Back in March, when the coronavirus pandemic forced British shops, restaurants, and pubs to close, the government stepped in with unprecedented support. It announced billions of dollars in loans and grants for businesses and self-employed workers, and allowed companies to apply for a furlough program that would cover 80% of an employee's wages. So far, that's meant businesses have avoided laying off 9.3 million workers. Nirmine George, owner of the Le Chalet Cafe in the northern English city of Leeds, says those programs were essential for her business's survival.
To allow us to pay the staff with a furlough, that was really a huge help. It was vital for their own survival. And for us as a company, we have the same staff. So when we restart again, our training is only on the new procedures.
She was able to retain all of her staff, but she's not out of the woods yet. The cost of these programs, according to the UK's Office of Budget corporate responsibility, is set to cost the UK government more than $371 billion this fiscal year. To try and limit ballooning debt, in August, the government will taper its contribution to the job retention scheme and ask employees to contribute a bigger share of the 80% salary coverage. Starting in August, employers will pay national insurance and pension contributions, and from September, they'll have to pay 10% of their furloughed employees' salaries. By October, that rises to 20%. But with more financial responsibility shifting to employers, Tony Wilson, director of the Institute for Employment Studies, says that could lead to more layoffs as businesses try to cut costs later on. He says job losses could total 4 or 5 million by early next year.
I think the government's going to have to shift towards helping people out of work to find new jobs. And that will often mean retraining to help people find jobs in growing industries. But it'll also mean giving people the tools and the help to look for work, prepare for work, and apply for new jobs.
For Nermine George of Le Chalet, it's one day at a time.
Yes, we rely on a government, but we have to be resilient and finding solution of how to survive. We might have to change location. We might have to change the model to be online shop and to be delivering.
For now, she and her team are keeping busy with local afternoon tea and deli deliveries until, as she says, the cafe can come back with a big bang. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Now, during this pandemic, we're interested in how inequality can play out within families, be it in a household or among generations of the same family. We'd love to hear from you about your family. Email us your stories. The address is morningreport@marketplace.org. In London, I'm Alicia Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.